Now stay tuned for Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion?
Hello and welcome to Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion? Program that gives food for the thought. I am Sheila Dandekar. Today again I have a privilege of having several people in my studio here, and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening. These are young people visiting our fair city here, and you'll enjoy each one of them as they talk. But let me introduce you first, the leader of this group. His name is Justin Humes. Welcome, Mr. Humes, or should I call you Justin?
Justin is fine. No, thank you. Yeah, the group that we are with is called Good News on the Move. It is a group of young men that is in its fifth year. And what we do is we have young men who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and have a desire to travel around and tell other people about this Savior, Jesus Christ. And they spend a year, they've committed to a year of traveling, and we go to different cities around the United States and work with some different churches, and we are out in the communities telling people in different ways, sometimes college campuses, sometimes at doors, all kinds of different ways, really.
Now, go ahead.
Just about the Savior, about Jesus Christ.
Well, now, are these all from your church?
Oh, no. This group is actually made up of some young men from around the country. We have, there's four of us here today. The group this year is made up of nine of us. The four we have here today are from scattered around in North Carolina, Vermont. I myself am from Maine.
Yeah. Wow. Well, would you introduce them, though? How many are there in this group, actually? I mean, we know we are four of us here.
This year there's nine of us.
Nine of you.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then would you introduce, and I'll talk more about yourself.
Certainly. With us here today, there's Jimmy Sanders, and he is from Vermont. We have Eric Tony, who is from Reidsville, North Carolina, and we have Jonathan Baker, who is from Pittsboro, North Carolina. So
more from North Carolina here.
Yes.
That's great. Well, do you want to, Eric, you want to say something for you about yourself? Just introduce yourself. From North Carolina?
I'm from Reidsville, North Carolina.
Is it near Raleigh? Or
it's about 2 hours west from Raleigh.
I see. In the mountains?
Near the mountains, not quite around them. About an hour away from the mountains.
I see. Okay, Jimmy, tell us about yourself now. You're from Vermont.
I'm from a small town in northeastern Vermont.
Uh-huh.
by the name of Lindenville. We're about 40 minutes from the Canadian border.
Oh.
And back home, I'm a farmer.
Uh-huh.
I've worked in farming growing up, and
that's an open land there more, isn't it, Vermont?
There's a lot of woods.
Yeah.
We do a lot of work in the woods, cutting firewood and sawing lumber and things like that.
Well, only thing I know about Vermont is the maple syrup comes from Vermont.
We make maple syrup on our farm.
Oh, really? Did you bring some for us?
We did bring some along with us, yes.
Okay. Well, we have another person here I would like you to get to know. Jonathan.
Yes.
Now, you're from North Carolina.
That's correct. I'm from Pittsboro, North Carolina, which is just about dead center in North Carolina. It's 40 minutes west of Raleigh and about 20 minutes south of Chapel Hill.
I see. And what do you do? How old are you now?
I'm 18, and I just graduated from high school. I've been homeschooled for 12 years.
Oh, homeschooled.
Yes.
Well, most of the team is about that age, isn't it?
Yeah, we have three of us on the team are 18 years of age, and we have one that's 19 now, or two that are 19, one that's 20. And we also have two other leaders.
Yeah, and I hear that some of you had the birthday yesterday, and some are having... Is this yours birthday today? No, who?
Daniel's birthday is today.
Okay. Well, happy birthday to all of you, I guess. But it is such a joy to have you, and you'll hear from each one of them more about their... what makes them tick and what makes them go and what will make them take time out at 18 and 19 and 20 years old, year to travel and study and visit different churches and different people and so on. So you'll hear more from each one of them. But at this time, I would like to talk more with Justin, because he is the guide or leader of this team. So let's talk, Justin. Justin, tell a little about yourself first, and then we'll talk more about the team.
Sure. These guys are a few years younger than I am. I am one of the two leaders. Another leader is Eric Smith, and he and I are both in our 30s. I'm actually traveling with the team this year with my family as well.
Yes, I know. I saw your family in the church. In fact, we have been having meetings every week, every day this week. And last Sunday you heard from my dad, Wood, and he was the main speaker. But each one of these young people gave their testimony. And I heard your testimony last night, too, that how God is played a role in your life. Now, you were, see, a lot of time people have this idea that, okay, you're born in a home, so whatever you're born, that's what you are. So you shared very nicely yesterday your testimony. So could you do that in short today?
Yeah, certainly. I'd be happy to. I certainly don't fall into the category of, what I was born into being what I sort of stuck believing, because the family that I was born into really didn't believe much of anything. They would occasionally go to a church, but they didn't really practice any of the things that they said on Sunday mornings that they believed. So in turn, I didn't believe it myself. It wasn't until I went away to college that I heard really in truth about what it was to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I was kind of the wild person off in school that you hear about, the ones you warn your children to stay away from when they go to school, the running around and wild and different hair color every week and causing trouble. And it wasn't until I met a certain young woman.
But you said that you were a good student in high school.
I was. I was a good student. I got good grades. Uh-huh. I did the work that I needed to do in class. But when classes were over,
you had a scholarship in college?
Yeah, it was an engineering school that I ended up going to, and I had a full scholarship there. Mm-hmm. And that didn't change the fact that inside I was desiring to have something else, find out what was real.
So studies came easy for you. So even partying, you still made a good grade.
Yeah, I guess I had the unusual gift is as long as I paid attention in class, then I didn't usually have to do much studying. So
that's a gift too, isn't it?
It certainly was.
Yes. Okay, then what happened in college days?
So anyway, my wildness was I guess apparent to most of my friends and people who knew me. And there was a certain young woman who had a class with my roommate. And the two of them would do some work together occasionally with some others on things for the class. And I noticed that there seemed to be something different about her. She seemed to have hope, security, this certainty about things in life that I knew that I didn't have.
Now, would you say that she had peace about herself that you could notice?
Yeah, she certainly had a peace. Mm-hmm. I knew that in my heart I didn't know of any purpose. Life didn't seem to have any purpose other than doing whatever it is I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I knew I didn't really have peace in my heart about just how things, day to day, the reason for things in life. Mm-hmm. And I know that's probably a lot of what I could attribute to my acting however it is I wanted to act. If there's no reason for the way things happen in life, then there was no reason to do it differently. But she seemed to have a peace and a real hope. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to know more about that. I wanted to spend time with her. And as it worked out, I did get to spend some time over a winter break from school with her and her family. And it involved going to a church with her and her family. And I was not terribly happy about that. But as you know, sometimes young men do things that they're not necessarily looking forward to when they want to spend time with a young woman. And so I went along. And it involved not just sitting through a service, but there was also a Sunday school kind of class before the regular service time. And it was several adults that sat together in this little room, and they opened up their Bibles, and they discussed it, and they studied what was in that Bible, and it really meant something to them. They believed what was in there, and it affected their life.
And you, you could see that.
I could see it. I could see the way they discussed it. I could see the way they read it. When they discussed about how it applied to their lives, I could tell that it had changed their lives, and that the person that it spoke of in there, that it spoke of as Jesus Christ, they didn't just speak about him. They seemed to have a relationship with him. They knew him. And this was completely outside of anything I had ever experienced in my life. Even the times when I had gone to church, that was not something I had ever seen. And it really kind of shook the foundations of all of my reasons for why I lived the way I did and why I believed what I did. Because here was some proof that this wasn't just, you know, fairy tales and things that people believed so that they'd feel better about what might come after life is over. And that changed my perspective on that quite a bit. So I started asking a lot more questions. You know, what was actually in this Bible that I'd been ignoring for all those years? What did it really say? And I came to find out all of the things that it says in there about our sinful condition and how all the things that I've done in my life that I knew I shouldn't have done, that God sees those as sin, and that the Bible speaks so clearly that the penalty for that sin is an eternity separated from him in hell. I know that I had never considered that much prior to that, but it was a thought that if this is all true, then that was a scary thought to me, that I was going to have to answer to God for these things in my life. And I had not really had much experience answering to much anybody in my life. I'd spent many years just doing whatever it is I wanted to do.
That was just in that vacation or 2 weeks?
That was just over the 3 weeks of that vacation, that's right.
I see. So did you make a decision to follow Lord Jesus Christ at that time?
It was the very last couple of days of that vacation. On that Sunday morning, we were back in the church again, and God just continued to work in my heart that I couldn't fix this problem in my heart by myself, that all of these things that I had been struggling with, all of this kind of emptiness inside and you know, the things you don't show to other people, but inside kind of eat you up. The answer came down to the fact that I was an enemy of God's because I was still a rebel against him, and that God had provided his son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place, to pay for my sins, that if I placed my trust in him and not trying to do things my own way.
Now, let me ask you now, you attended the Sunday school class in this church. Now, did you ask a lot of questions? Did people try to, you know, a lot of times people have this idea that people buttonhole you and try to push something, their beliefs on you. So was that in that way, or were you really seeking that? Because, you know, once you are in a home and they are sharing the things, is that something you did willingly, or you had the desire to know that, or you wanted to challenge them? How did that happen?
No, they certainly didn't. They certainly didn't buttonhole me at the church. They mostly just were kind to me and wanted to share with me how God had changed their life, how their relationship with Jesus Christ had changed their life. And then, because this was so foreign to me, I wanted to know more about it. And part of me also wanted to see if this was real or not. So I asked a lot of questions, kind of to try to trip them up or see where the fault was. And I asked all those kinds of questions. And mostly, though, it wasn't at the church so much as it was with this young woman and her family.
I see.
Who believe these things. So I, when we'd come home from that church, I asked them a lot of those questions and tried to see if I could stumble them. And it never did.
Never did. Well, we should, I would like to talk more. Now, you did end up marrying this young lady. What's her name?
Her name is Jocelyn.
Jocelyn.
Yeah, and she is traveling with us, and our five daughters as well travel with us.
Five little ones. Yeah. How old is the older one?
The oldest one was almost 9, uh-huh. and the youngest one just turned 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was really lovely to see them in the church sitting so nicely and so well behaved. Very, very much I'm impressed. But let's break for the song and we'll talk more and more to the rest of these young men who are here.
खुदावन मेरी रोशनी और मेरी नजात है मुझे किसकी दहशत है खुदावन मेरी जिंदगी का पुश्ता है मुझे किसका डर है खुदा मेरी रोशनी मेरी नजात है तू है खुदा मेरी रोशनी मेरी नजात है तू डर नहीं मुझको कोई अब मेरे साथ है तू डर नहीं मुझको कोई अब मेरे साथ है तू है खुदा मेरी रोशनी मेरी नजात है तू है नहीं मुझको कोई अब मेरे साथ दुश्मन मुझे खाने को चले आते हैं मेरे दुश्मन मुझे खाने को चले आते हैं खाके ठोकर हाँ वो खुद आप गिर जाते हैं चाहे लश्कर आए कितने तो भी ये दिल न डरे तेरा तालिब मैं बनूं और तेरे घर में रहूं तेरा तालिब मैं बनूं और तेरे घर खुदा मेरी रोशनी मेरी नजात है तू डर नहीं मुझको कोई अब मेरे साथ है तू
खुदा मेरी निजात है तू डर नहीं मुझको कोई अब मेरे साथ है तू डर नहीं मुझको कोई अब मेरे साथ है तू डर नहीं मुझको कोई अब मेरे साथ है तू
Yeah, just heard from Justin telling how he came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has been traveling with this team this year, giving his a year to teach them and train them, be there for them. And one of the young men that you heard is from here is Jonathan. So, Jonathan, how about you now? We heard Justin's story, how he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. How did you come to the Lord?
Well, my story starts in Augusta, Georgia, where I was born. And I was born into a Christian family, meaning both of my parents are Christians. And so, with both of my parents being Christians, I grew up and knowing or memorizing the scriptures, the Holy Bible. And so they would tell you from the time I could talk, they would teach me to memorize verses. And I continued to do that. And at the age of 6, I went to a youth camp called Mountain Top Youth Camp. And it was one of the first homeschool weeks. And, prior to that, I heard lots of, growing up in church, I heard lots of gospel messages. But then when you go to camp, it's a little bit different because you hear it for a whole week. Morning and evening. And so I heard it the gospel morning and evening for the whole week, and one of the topics that I don't even remember who the speaker was, but I do remember one of the topics was heaven or hell. He talked about it. And even though I heard it, I still didn't believe it. You know, some say that I knew it up in my head, but I didn't believe it up in my heart, down in my heart. But I still didn't believe it. So I went home, and this continued for a year or two, but at the age of 8 years old, I was in my room, and I can remember this, like, clearly, like it was yesterday almost, and I just remember that something, my heart felt heavy, and I was being just convicted of my sin, and I knew I was a sinner. And I just remember that I felt like I need to be alone to talk with God, so I went to my closet.
In your room, in your closet?
Yeah, it's in my room, my closet. I felt like I was completely alone between me and God there. So I went there, and I just got on the ground, and then I just said simply that, God, I believe that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to earth and die for me. And I believe that he died, and that he was buried, and he rose again. And he came, and that you love me. He came just to die for me and for my sins. And I just pray that that Jesus would save me right there and then. And that's how I became saved. And so a lot of people think you can be saved, grow up in a Christian family. And that's not what I thought, actually. But it's just I didn't believe till I was at the age of 8 years old.
At the age of 8, you had the awareness that you are a sinner. Is that something that you are taught that you are a sinner, or you really felt in your heart that...
I think I just really felt in my heart, because I did grow up hearing that we're all sinners, and I memorized scriptures, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short. But I knew I had sinned. Taking things from my brothers, what I call borrowing, was really stealing. And that convicted me, and I knew that was sin.
Well, when you did pray, your prayer, did you go and tell your parents about it?
Right afterwards, not the second afterwards, but like a day afterwards, I did tell them I had put my trust in Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
I see. Well, that is a good testimony that when you are brought up in a home where scripture is taught, and that helped you to make that decision. So, at the age of 8, now you are 18, how was the life? Are you a good angel boy, always?
People say that I was a good boy, but I wasn't always a good boy. But yes, I started growing, and as a Christian, you're supposed to grow. Mm-hmm. Just like we're being fed food, you're supposed to grow some more. Mm-hmm. And I did all the, I guess you call it the basic things. Everyone said, read your Bible. So I read my Bible because, thanks to my dad, he always asked me questions. Well, what did you read this morning? And after messages at church, what did you learn from the church? What did you learn from the message? And so, but I wasn't doing it because I wanted to. I did it to say that I did it. I was just getting it over with. And it wasn't really until the, to my early teenage years that I just, begun to consider it seriously that I shouldn't do it just to get it over with. I should do it because I want to. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I really began to read my Bible more, to be a little bit more bold about telling my friends mm-hmm. how I'm a Christian and everything. Because mm-hmm. sometimes I would hang out with friends and I knew they weren't saved or anything. But I wouldn't act like a Christian. I would just do what they did. And nothing horrible or bad, but just I blended in with the crowd.
So you did have some growing pains.
A little bit.
What about you, Jimmy?
Well, I was similar to Jonathan. I was raised, both of my parents were Christians. They would bring me to church on Sundays, and from a very, very young age, just like Jonathan, I heard the good news about how Jesus had come to pay the penalty for our sins, how each person on this earth is a sinner, and because of our sin we've been separated from God, but because God wants a relationship with us, he sent the Lord Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins, and so I heard about that, and I would say about when I was 7 or 8 I became very aware of that I was a sinner, that I had lied and stolen. It says in the last book of the Bible in Revelation that all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I knew that because I was a sinner, because I had lied, I had taken things that weren't mine, I was headed to hell. And I didn't want to go there, and so I was scared of that, but I didn't put my trust in the Lord Jesus until I was about 12. So for about 4 or 5 years, I kind of lived very, very scared of what would happen after I died. And
mm-hmm.
And when I was 12 years old, one night I prayed with my mother. I told the Lord Jesus that I agreed that what he had said about me, that I was a sinner, was true, that I had done things that displeased him, that I had thought things that displeased him. And I accepted his gift of salvation, of paying the price for me so that I could be in a relationship with God.
You spoke at the church on last Tuesday, and you gave a story about the chicken, and I thought that was interesting, really. Can you, you related that to being entering the salvation, that Lord Jesus Christ is the way. Can you relate that?
Yeah, it says, and the Lord Jesus said when he was on earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only way for us to be saved, for our relationship to be open between us and God again. And it says in Acts, a fellow asked, what must I do to be saved? He was very, very scared. He thought he was just about to die. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And that's the answer to each and every person on this earth. But sometimes people get a little bit confused about what believing might be.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I'm a farmer back home, and I had a chicken last summer that got out of the coop. I have a nice little pen that I move every day and gather the eggs. And one day, one of the chickens got out, and it wouldn't let me catch it. It just ran away, flapped its wings, and I had things to do, and so when I couldn't catch it, I left it. And every day, I would try to catch it again. I would go down to the pen morning and night to take care of the chickens, and every time I was down there, I would try to catch it. But the chicken wouldn't let me catch it.
So chicken hung around the coop, but won't go in the coop.
Well, yeah, the chicken wanted to go in the coop because that's where all the other chickens were. That's where the food was. That's where the water was. But the only way it could get in is for me to pick it up and put it through the door in the top. And the chicken wouldn't let me catch it to put it in the door.
I thought that was a very good example you gave, because this is how the Lord works with us, Lord Jesus Christ, that we are like the chickens. That's why I wanted you to share that story, because we are like that too, isn't it? We want to get in. We want to have the benefit from that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided, and yet we struggle with it. We don't want the Lord Jesus to catch us and put us in that safe place where we'll be fed and we'll be taken care of. And I thought that was a very, very story that related to our life. But one more other thing I wanted to ask you was, you said that, you know, both of you related, of course, you're brought up in a Christian home and you're taught the morals and good things, and you have this the most bad thing you did was taking things from your brothers or from other friends or something like that. And so people will say, well, is that a sin? We all do that. And the idea that we have as a sin is something big, something really hurt people, or something hurts God.
Yeah, people do often have that thought that, you know, well, hey, I've never murdered anyone, right? Or I've never done anything that bad. But what the Bible says is that it's not just the things that we do, but that God even hears the words that we say, and even more than that, sees right into our hearts and knows our thoughts and the intent of our heart. And the Bible speaks so clearly that it says in the book of Matthew that even if we've hated someone in our heart, that God equates that to murder, because in our heart we wish that they were dead. You know, even if that doesn't mean that we've done it, God knows the intents of our heart, and God is so perfect and so holy. He's such a right and perfect judge that nothing escapes his notice, and anything that's against his perfection, his character. In the Bible, where it says that all of us have sinned and fall short of his glory, that's what it's speaking of, that his perfection, his perfect standard, and anything that we do, whether it's in our words and our actions, or even in our thoughts or in our heart, even things that people often consider, you know, small things, like just taking something from their friend or telling a lie, all of those things, they're against God. And they're against his perfection. And whether we even think about those things, that causes us to be short of his perfect standard.
That is very important to know that, because a lot of times we think something and then say, oh, I didn't really mean it. But God knows we can say we didn't mean it. But God, like you said, knows the intent of our heart. And God gives an account of all things. Well, let's pray for the song now, and we'll talk more with this lovely young man who are in our studio today.
Mere Khuda, mere khuda mere khuda sun le dua sun le dua sun le dua sun le dua insaaf kar mujhko bacha mere khuda mere khuda बेगाने मेरे खिलाफ है बेगाने मेरे खिलाफ है मेरी जान पर वो अजाब है तू अपनी ताब उनको दिखा तू अपनी ताब उनको देखा सुन ले दुआ सुन ले दुआ इंसाफ कर मुझको बचा मेरे खुदा मेरे खुदा मुझको संभाले मेरा रब देखो खुदा मेरी मदद मुझको संभाले मेरा रब करता है दुश्मन को पना करता है दुश्मन को पना सुन ले दुआ सुन ले दुआ इंसाफ कर मुझको बचा मेरे खुदा मेरे खुदा मेरे खुदा
Hope you are enjoying the songs today too. I want to introduce the album that we are using today's songs are from Anil Kant's album. We thank him for letting us use his music on this show. His music is available via internet for you to buy. He is a great singer from India. So you can, it is available for you. If you need more information, you may call us. Our phone number here is 301-879-0474 or the email is IFI@dandeker. Today we have four lovely young people here in our studio, and we are talking what they are doing here in our city and how they have come to this decision of giving their 1 year of life in serving God. So we have talked to Jimmy and Jonathan, and we have been carrying on conversation here also with Justin, who is their leader. And we have one more person here that we have not yet, you have not heard his story yet. And we would like you, Eric, to tell about yourself a bit now.
Myself? Well, my story differs from the rest of the crew. They were all brought up in Christian families. But I had, my mother was a Christian, my two older sisters are Christian, but my father is not. And in having such a mix like that, things are not going to go smoothly. So I was always raised up with my parents fighting, and it's not easy growing up like that. But first, before I get into that, I'll just share with you how I personally accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was always brought up in Sunday school. I learned all the stories, and one night I went down to my sister's room. You know, I loved hanging out with her. She's cool.
Mm-hmm. And they're older sisters?
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. My oldest sister, her name was is Amanda. And one night she was feeling evangelistic. And she said, "Eric, you're heading to hell."
Uh-huh.
Just straightforward. And that scared me.
Huh.
Because, you know, I knew I was a sinner, but I heard the stories.
And how old were you about this time?
I was 6 years old.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. I was still fairly young.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually really hard to remember all this since I was so young. And I've been praying that the Lord would help me receive memories. And I actually have.
I see.
And mm-hmm. I'm actually really thankful for that. I even had one when you were talking earlier of my parents' reaction of when I was saved. But when I was talking to Amanda in her room, she brought out some scriptures, you know, for the
witness. And at that time, how old she was?
I honestly don't remember. She was about 12, 11 or 12.
So, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And so she was young herself,
mm-hmm.
which is actually just makes me proud of her right now.
Yes, of course.
Uh-huh. And she shared with a couple verses, "For the wages of sin is death, but the mm-hmm. gift of God is eternal life through mm-hmm. Jesus Christ our Lord."
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, she told me how to receive the gift mm-hmm. God, that Jesus Christ gave to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that night I prayed to him, and he came into my heart, and he forgave all my past and present and future sins.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And I was saved at that point, but I wasn't growing. I was still young, and the only time I really even touched my Bible was for church on Sundays and Wednesdays.
Well, you were just 6. You probably didn't know how to read at that time, did you?
Probably a little, but still more than, it's a lot less than I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I regret that to this day. I wasn't brought up memorizing verses. I had that option, but I chose not to. I'd rather go play out in the woods or something.
Uh-huh.
But when I reached my teenage years,
uh-huh.
that's when I really started resenting my father for the things he's put me through. And I started to hate him.
Now, when you say he put you through, what was the...
He was never around, and he never... When he was, like, he worked, like, 5 days a week, and then the 2 days he was off, he would never play with me. He'd just either sit down, watch TV, or go play golf with his friends. And the way he treated my mother, Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very close to my mother. Mm-hmm. She means the world to me. And I started hating him for that. And he'd always call me boy instead of my name. And that used to always get to me.
I see.
And, yeah, when, like I said, when I reached my teenage years and I go through all this, it really started to get to me.
Uh-huh.
But, and I stayed like that for a few years. I went to a Christian camp. It's called Mountaintop Youth Camp in North Carolina.
I see.
And they had a speaker there. His name is Nathan Bramson. He's a missionary that goes all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he was speaking on leaving our comfort zone as Christians to go out into the world and spread the gospel.
Uh-huh.
And another message of his, actually, he really didn't even get to the message. He came in tears. And all the, there's like 100 other campers there that night. And we were wondering why he was crying.
Huh.
And he told us that a man he had just recently witnessed to was hit by a car. And that he was sure, or he thinks, that he was saved. Now, herein lies the problem. The word think. He wasn't sure, and that's what made him cry.
Uh-huh.
And when I saw the love that Nathan had for this man,
mm-hmm.
really got to me, and it made me realize that I wasn't going anywhere as a Christian. I was not growing. I wasn't going out. I wasn't even reading my Bible. And mm-hmm. it really put a change in my heart, and I realized that I could not grow until I forgave my father.
So you had that resentment against your father.
Until that time.
I see. Uh-huh.
And it took me a while. It took me a few months to actually forgive him for the things he's done. But I did. And after that, I viewed him differently. He was gone all the time because he was working. He was providing shelter. He was mm-hmm. giving me a roof over my head.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me boy. I'm his only boy. You know, that can be a nickname for all I care. I hear love in those words now that I didn't see before. I mean, I'm not saying that what he did was right, but I can see his views on it.
So it did not hurt you anymore as it did before?
It did not.
And you just had a different view that God gave you, different love and understanding. And this is what really I would like to like for our listeners to know, that God does change our mind. God changes our thinking, and it makes us view the things in a godly way, in a, how God sees things. And but it takes time, isn't it?
It did. And actually, when I was sharing my testimony the other night, I kind of froze up, but the Lord helped me. The Lord Jesus helped me speak. Like, these, I'm really surprised these words came out of my mouth, but just as I was blinded
uh-huh.
to see my Father's love for me,
mm-hmm.
so are other unbelievers blinded to see Jesus Christ's love for them.
Mm.
And after I said that, I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And, that's why I joined the team, actually. I want to help unbelievers see the Lord Jesus' love for them.
Uh-huh. Well, this is really wonderful to hear from a young person like you, how God works in your life, although you gave yourself, submitted yourself to God even at the young age of 6. And as we heard also from Jonathan and others here, that God, when you commit yourself to God, He keeps working with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a while sometimes, but He never lets you go. And this is a wonderful story. Well, at this point, I think we should break for a song, and we'll get back to you.
शुक्र करो रब का वो जो मालिक है सबका शुक्र करो रब का वो
मुझ मालिक है सबका शुक्र करो रब का मुझ मालिक है सबका
Today we have been talking here with Good News on the Move team. Of course, we don't have the whole team here. There are 9 and then 2 leaders and then Justin's family, his wife and 5 little girls, lovely girls. I wish we were on television here so you could actually see all of them. But we can only get 4 or 5 of them in the studio and we are talking with them. So I'm glad, Justin, you are here with them. So we just heard from Eric and the way his thinking changed after he came to know the Lord, but not at that time. He was quite young at 6, but as he grew in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the faith and in the study of Word of God, which is Bible, that he learned how God loves and how to look at things or situations or in your life differently. And you have this privilege working with these young people day in and day out, Justin. How do you manage and what is your schedule like?
Well, it is a great privilege to work with these young men. Eric had brought something up near the end of what he was saying that I thought was very pertinent. He was talking about this was his motivation for desiring to come and work with the team. You know, for these young guys, this isn't a job. This isn't like a year of college credits. This is a year where they've decided this is such an important thing for them in their life, knowing about the Word of God in the Bible better, knowing how to share with others this great love that's been shown to them. It's just their desire that this be a part of their life that grows, and that they can take this time off from other things that they could be doing and just dedicate it to serving God and to growing closer to Him with their lives and with everything they do. And so it really has been a great privilege, and it continues to be. As far as the schedule goes, we'll spend a week at a time. And so, unfortunately, our week here in Maryland is almost over. We'll be headed to New Jersey from here. We'll be staying in different places kind of up and down the East Coast up until about Christmas. And we do need to follow the weather a little bit, being outdoors with most of our outreach, most of our times telling people the gospel. Is kind of difficult up north in the winter.
Now, this is interesting that you started this in the fall. Now, do you have teams going in the summer?
No, summer is kind of a time off, sort of in between teams, and it's in the fall where we get new.
So this is like a school year type of a thing.
Yeah, it follows that kind of schedule, a school year schedule. So the guys that are with us now will continue right through until June, with some breaks in between. But and then.
Now, when do you have breaks? Do they get to go home and be with their family, like for Christmas or
yes.
Thanksgiving?
Yes,
I see.
They'll have those frank chances to get back.
Now, what do you do now? You are here with your family in your trailer.
Our home has four wheels under it.
So wherever you are,
so wherever
is your
we
home.
Are, yes, we park and that's where we just take a break.
But you do
family.
Have family in Maine, so do you go back to Maine?
Now and then, but not in the winter.
I see. Oh,
it's a little
yes.
difficult staying in the camper.
Well, this is quite admirable for all of us who are hearing you today, that all these young people came in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at the young age, and they want to serve God because the love they received from Lord Jesus Christ, and they want to share that love with others. And they are not getting anything in return except the satisfaction that they are doing what God has called them to do. And this is really very admirable, and I thank God for each one of you, and for you, Justin, to travel with your family and serving them as well as the Lord in this way. And I thank the Lord. And all of you who are listening to us, you heard them, how although they were young, had the feeling that they were sinners and that they needed to be forgiven, and they found that forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will today, listening to this young man, if you have not done so, you will do so even now before the show is ended. Just put your trust in the Lord, and you will have the same benefit that these people are having, to have that peace Justin talked about earlier in the show, the peace and satisfaction. And the young people here have been telling throughout this hour. Thank you so much for being with us and spending your morning with us.
Well, thank you. It really has been a joy.
Our phone number here, if you want to contact us, is 301-879-0474, and email is ifi@dandeker.com. I'm Sheila Danaker.